Remember when he done that? Remember when he reached down for you? Remember where you was? Where was you in this life? Just how low was you? Just what shape was you in? Huh? What? Remember how rough things was? And he reached down and set you upright? Huh? I tell you, we get our life all knocked around and messed up, and he comes through, and you just can't be. Good singing, good songs, and that's wonderful. That's wonderful. All right. Help yourself tonight. Help yourself. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. All right. We're going to give you a few thoughts for the next couple, 3 weeks maybe. We'll see how long. It won't be a long series. We're going to be preaching on the church. And I want to encourage you to be here if at all possible. I've seen a sign of some sort. I'm all the time looking for signs and things to make, or, you know, ideas that maybe later on I'll do some woodworking things around Christmas time or something. And I seen a sign that said something about church. This ain't going to be a direct quote. I'd have to look it back up. But it said, you never know what church service is going to be that's going to be the one that changes your life. You never know. So you probably ought to be here in all of them, because you don't know which one's going to be. And I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense. It really does. Because whether you understand it or not, the Lord does have services to help people. I mean, that's part of what church is. And I'm not knocking anybody that misses or anything like that. I'm just wanting you to know. In the past, and I could ask Dennis and Boyd, who's pastored as well, there's many times that people has come to me and needed help. But had they been at church the past two or three services prior, they wouldn't have needed to ask me nothing. Because everything was already laid out and the answers was there. But because of the turmoil of their life or the issues, it's not a time to isolate. Let me tell you something. I don't care what you go through, there, it's not ever a time to isolate. It's a time to come together. The more problems, the more you need the church. All right? I want you to understand that. And say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I'm telling you. That's why you don't know about it. I'm telling you. I'm telling you that's the way it is, because that's Bible. That's Bible. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, don't say when you want to, or when you think you should, or, well, I don't feel like it says forsaking not the assembling yourself together as the manner of some is. Right? Because some won't assemble. All right? Is everybody all right with that? Well, let's just make sure. Let's read it in Hebrews chapter 10. All right? I wasn't planning on going there, but that's just a good place to go. It says, not forsake. Well, let's just back up a minute. Let's back up. We all right? Hebrews chapter 10, we look at verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Now, if you want to run it all together, verse 26 says, for if we sin willfully. See, we always quit at verse 25, but 26 is in there too. For if we sin willfully. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that when we quit assembling, we're sinning willfully. I'll just go ahead and tell you. All right. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a fearful certain fearful looking for a judgment. The fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Just want us to understand tonight that it's important that we be here together. Amen. Now that's what you're going to be hearing a lot in the next several Sunday nights. All right, so be here, okay? I want to encourage you. We're going to try to help us as a church, all right? Let's pray together. Father, I'm thanking you for all you've given us today. Again, Lord, you're wonderful. I'm nothing, but you're everything. But I'm so glad you made me part of the family. And I'm not perfect. Someday I will be, but I ain't now. And I ask you, Lord, to help me tonight. Give me the wisdom I need to pastor, wisdom I need to preach, the wisdom I need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray tonight for this simple word that you might, as you speak to our heart, that we'll be willing not to set it aside, but we'll be willing to apply it to our personal lives and be what we are supposed to be in the church as you have placed us. Now, Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you for everything. Cleanse me from anything being a hindrance or anything that be a hurt. And, Lord, they give me fresh oil tonight. Touch me fresh and I might preach as you want me to preach. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, Paul's writing to a young preacher here from all indications, he's going to be a pastor, or he's pastoring at that time, or just starting out. But he's been working with Paul, and he's trying to tell Timothy some things that he's going to need to know. Well, this is for us tonight. It says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now, I find that to be very interesting, that there's that much emphasis placed upon the house of God, on the church, that it would say it is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Can I tell you that the church is necessary?
Yes. Yes.
The church is necessary. And I want you to understand it. Now, I want to preach to us a few Sunday nights on the church, the body of Christ, the local body, the church, if I would. I'm concerned about our church. I'm always concerned about our church. And if you ever catch me not being concerned about the church, fire me. Send me packing. All right? Because I don't need to be here if I cease to be concerned about you. All right? Think about that. And now, I'm not concerned about the church going down. The church is going up. Everybody understand that? The church is going up. I'm not concerned about the church being defeated, because Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not, shall not prevail against it. So I'm not worried about the church being destroyed and being defeated, and I'm not worried about the church going down, because the church is going up. We're going to be raptured out of here, okay? So I'm not looking at it. But I do have concerns for the church because of not just this church, but other churches as well. I'm concerned, I should say maybe my concern is how the members view the church. That might even be a better way to say it. My concern is how the church is viewed from within, not how the church is viewed from without. There's always emphasis on the church, how it's viewed from the outside. And a lot of times we will put on a false face and show the outside what is not on the inside. All right? That way we keep our good graces. All right? You understand? So my concern is in the confines of the church. All right? in the confines of the church. Now, this is not your church. It's not my church. All right? And you don't come to church. You didn't come to church. You don't come to church. Everybody still with me? Are you wondering? Are you thinking? You don't come to church because you are the church. This is a place that the church assembles. You are the church. You are the body. See, when you get saved, you're placed into the body, the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. You're placed in that body by the Holy Spirit of God when you are saved. You have no choice in it. You don't join the church. You don't join the church. You're placed in the church, in the body of Christ, by the new birth. That's how you're placed there. When you're saved, you're placed into the body of Christ, the church. Now, when you... what we call joining is when you commit to a local assembly of the church. All right. From an accommodation. How's that word? That would be right. An accommodation. From another church.
Yes.
That sends a letter ahead and says that you're going to be a good guy. And you're going to be a good and faithful worker. Huh? But you don't really join the church. You get yoked up with the assembly in this area. Everybody still with me? It's quiet. You're studying, ain't you? You're thinking. Huh? The church is the assembly of those who are called out of darkness into light. That's what the church is. It's an assembly of those who are called out of darkness into light. Huh? The church is an assembly of those called by God unto Himself in a new life. That's what the church is. Everybody follow me so far? You're called by God into Himself. Huh? With new life. And you say, well, how am I called into that? Because the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that He is the head of the body. The church. That's what it says. For He is the head of the body, the church. And we're called and placed into Him.
Right.
And we're part of the body. You don't choose to be part of the church. He born you into the church. Alright? So, the commitment to the church is a commitment to the body of Christ. Not the building where you assemble. It goes deeper than the building that you assemble in. Alright? Because this ain't the only church. This is not the only church. This is a place where this part of the body assembles. There's other churches. Is that not right? Feel free to help me. There's other churches. There's other churches all over the country. All over the world, there's other churches. Right? And we're part of that body. We're just not a committed member of that assembly. But we are to be the committed member of this assembly. Now, I want you to be very, very patient with me as we lay some groundwork tonight on this series. And that we understand that we assemble with others who are in Christ. That's where we're at now. We assemble with others who are in Christ, the church, the body. We assemble here under the leadership that God has laid out with pastors and teachers for the fulfilling of the Great Commission, for the edifying of the body, that the body be built up and grow and mature in Christ in this assembly, this area, this local assembly where God has placed us here. Yes. Everybody understand that? So I'm trying to talk slow so everybody understands what I'm saying. Now, to give you some scripture that you might understand just what we are or what we're a part of, we're going to look at a few scriptures tonight. Everybody okay with me? Yes. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I hope you have your Bibles, because they bring your Bible to church and bring up ink pen or pencil and take notes in your Bible. All right, because you ain't going to remember everything I say. So you ought to have your Bible, and you ought to make marks in your Bible that you might learn and understand, because that's part of your commitment to this local assembly, that you might learn and understand and come to the knowledge of the truth in unity in this assembly. That's why you're here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's just read verse 1 and 2. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Look what it says. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. That's that local assembly at Corinth. Does everybody understand that? Now those that are at the church of Corinth are them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Those that set apart from sin to Christ. All right. Called to be saints with all that in every place, not just Corinth, but with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So it's a local assembly, and it's everybody else that's saved too. All right, so that's what that epistle is written to. Does everybody follow me? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Now, it's not just the local assembly, but it was all them saints that's in that region. But yet, we're still talking about the church. We're still talking about the body. We're still talking about who we are. Is everybody following me? Now, there's a reason that we got to start here, that we can see the commitment to the church. Because, see, one of the problems in the church today is that the commitment to the church is at an all-time low. All over the place. Right? The commitment to the church, to the body. See, we got the mentality from false teaching that we're lone rangers. And we're taking our personal relationship outside of the body. And that's unscriptural. Because you're not going to find the personal relationship that everybody's pushing for today. What you'll find in the scripture is a relationship as we work in the body, fitly formed and fitly framed together. To be matured and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by yourself somewhere else. You are not going to grow maturely outside of the assembly of the body. You're not going to do it. You say, well, I got my Bible. That's wonderful. You can have your Bible and pray all you want, but you're placed in the body. If you don't believe that, cut your finger off and lay it over on the side. And it shouldn't be no pain, shouldn't be no blood, and it shouldn't turn black after a few days. Right? It puts up part of your body. Huh? When I cut the end of my thumb off, Boyd went down there at the water spigot and trimmed it all off for me real good and clean and neat when we was building this church. Huh? I don't know if a bird come by and got that or a dog or whatever I cut off when we just throwed it out there. Huh? But I want you to understand this. It wasn't part of me no more. I trimmed her off. It was dead. Huh? It was dead. But I can say it's part of my body, but it's not. You can't. You'll never mature and succeed with the will of God outside of the assembly of the body of Christ. In fellowship with this local assembly. It ain't gonna happen. You don't have the ability to do it by yourself. Because some are an ear, some are an eye, some are a nose. Some are a hand, some are a foot. Some are a finger, some are a fingernail, some's a hangnail in the fingernail. Huh? Everybody understand? We got to have connection to the body. And you don't believe that hangnail's part of the body? Pull on it.
Yeah. That's right.
Get down in the quick air and you'll find that that's a sensitive part of the body. What I want you to understand tonight is the commitment to the body all over is diminishing because of a false teaching that we don't need the church. I don't know how many have ever heard the Raines family sing. Anybody here ever heard the Raines family sing? All right. The Raines family, they do a wonderful job singing. But during COVID, that gal who plays the piano wrote a song that we need the church.
Yes.
And one day I might get that and just play it for us through one Sunday night. But it's a great song. And they wrote it because of COVID messed everybody up. See, that's when a lot of commitment to the church quit.
Yes.
Was when COVID come and we decided that we could use media to be a church. And you can't. And that's why the church's attendances went down, because people are still using that media and they're drying up.
Amen.
They're drying up because you can't replace the fellowship of the body together with media, podcasts, tape recordings. You can't do it.
Amen, preacher.
You need the assembling of ourselves together with a commitment to one another and the body, that we might mature and grow and be a one light, not a bunch of lights. We're not a bunch of twinkle lights on a Christmas tree, but we're supposed to be one light. A spotlight, a searchlight that beacons out for people to come. The lights that's in the harbor are not a bunch of lights that confuse the people that's coming in the storm, but there's a constant light that the people might find their way to solid ground, not jagged rocks. Huh? Think about that. And that's the church. We still okay? Ephesians chapter 1. I feel like somebody jammed a feather in my nose. Somebody's coming hungry, I reckon. Ain't that what they say? If your nose itching, somebody's coming hungry. And that's got to be true. It's an old wives' tale. It's got to be true. Ephesians chapter 1. Is everybody still running with me? Now, I don't know how excited I'll be about preaching tonight. We're just trying to give us some thoughts tonight to get started. Be okay? Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm hoping they're the same people. But if not, it's to the faithful that's in Christ Jesus somewhere else. Okay? But I just want you to understand, that's the church too. That's the church. We done looked at the church of Corinth. We done looked at the churches in the region of Achaia. But wait a minute, we don't live there. We're not, that's not where we're from. We're a church in Somersville. But we're all still the body of Christ. So when I read the scripture about the body of Christ, it's still speaking to me, ain't it? So I want to make sure we all understand that we're not lone rangers. That we are a local assembly of one body, and there's one head of the one body, the one head being Christ, and one body that is His body, that He purchased with His blood. As it says there in Acts, that He purchased the church with His blood. There's one bride. Huh? There's not going to be 1,000 brides or 10,000 brides, but it's going to be one body that is wedded off to Jesus Christ. Huh? Yes. And we're part of that one body. And there's going to be made up of Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, Korean, Indians, Germans, and Burmese. And there's going to be Africans, and there's going to be English people, and there's going to be Irish people. There's going to be Americans. There's going to be American Indians. There's going to be Eskimos. There's going to be Australians. There's going to be New Zealands. There's going to be Hawaiians. There's going to be Puerto Ricans. There's going to be Cubans. There's going to be Mexicans. I mean, it ain't going to matter the color of the skin, it ain't gonna matter, because we're of one body, born into the family of God in one body by the blood of Christ, and the commitment don't come to a building, but the commitment comes from within our heart to the head, which is Christ, in the local assembly. Everybody follow me? And there ain't no big I's or little U's in nowhere. Because there's one head, and that's where the eyes and the brain is. And that's Christ. We okay? Everybody still all right? How about Philippians chapter 1? Everybody follow me tonight. Now we'll get more in depth as we go, but we got to lay some groundwork. Philippians chapter 1. All right? Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are in Philippi. I wonder why he didn't say the church. He did. He did say the church. He just didn't use that word. It says, the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Now they're saints too. Okay. The pastors and deacons are still saints. Okay. All right. Do you see what I'm trying to say tonight? Am I understanding that we're still the body of Christ, and it's to the saints. It's to the church. It's not a building. That's why you don't come to church. You are the church. But see, our minds are set that we come to church and when we're faithful to the building. But it ain't the building that we're supposed to be faithful to, it's to the body. And I'm supposed to be faithful to you. And you're supposed to be faithful to me, for we're a part of one body. And I'm supposed to be assembling myself together that I might be exhorting you and encouraging you, as I read in Hebrews 10. Are you following me? That we're one. That's why, blessed be the tie that binds our heart in Christian love. That we are one family of God. We're not bunches. Can I tell you that Calvary Baptist is not our cousins? They're not our cousins. They're part of the body on the other side of town. Same body. Same head. Same body. Huh? Manuel Baptist down in the holler ain't our distant cousins. Huh? They're just that local assembly down there on Arbuckle. Huh? That's it. We still okay? All right. How about Colossians chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. All right? Well, wait a minute. There are saints in Philippi. There are saints in Ephesus. There are saints in Corinth. There are saints in Achaia. You know who they are? They're in hand. They may be a left hand, the other may be a right hand, the other might be a foot and a toe, but they're all one body because there's one head, and that's Christ, and there's one body, which is the church, the pillar and ground of the truth, who is purchased by the blood of Christ, which requires a commitment from the people that is placed in it by the new birth. We still okay? We still okay? Now let's go further. First and Second Thessalonians. We'll just read. Well, we can read both if you want to. But is everybody still okay? All right. 1 Thessalonians 1:1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church that's in the Father and in Christ. See, that's where we're placed. When we get saved, we're placed into the Father. We're placed in Christ. That's why all of y'all on that side ain't no better than the ones in this side. And y'all ain't no better than the ones in that side. And y'all ain't no better because we're the body. And nobody holler said, well, my right ear is better than my left ear. Or my nose hole on my right side is better than my left nose hole. No, it ain't like that. And we're one body and we're equal.
That's right.
And there's no big eyes or little, there should be no pride in the assembly because we're of one body. And there should be no division in the assembly because we're one body. I've never heard why are you so mad at him? I don't like my left hand. Why don't you like your left hand? Well, it offended, but what did it do to you? Is that foolish?
Yes.
Was that foolish what I done? Then quit it!
Good.
If that seemed foolish to you, then don't do it!
Amen.
Because if anybody offends you, that's how stupid it is. Are we okay? That's just how dumb it is. Well, my nose don't like my ear. Ain't that ridiculous? Talk to me. Is that not the dumbest thing you ever seen me do? Then quit doing it. Quit doing it. Because that's how foolish when the body fights with the body. We okay? Does that make sense? All right. Now, let's go on. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus and to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, you keep reading the same thing. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Are you getting it? Huh? How about Galatians? You thought I left it out, but I didn't. I saved it. Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. All the same. All the same. You know why? Because there's one head and there's one body. They're just different assemblies of that one body because it's spread out worldwide. But we're all placed into that wonderful body of Christ by the new birth, equally with the same salvation, with the same caliber of salvation, with the same amount of salvation, with the same degree of salvation, with the same quality of salvation. Placed into the one body, completely equal. Huh? Ain't that amazing? Huh? One head. One head. So this personal relationship that I'm trying to find outside of the assembly ain't going to be found. Because my relationship comes through the body because that's where the head's attached. And there are people that have been taught down through the years that our personal relationship separates us from the body, that we don't have to assemble. And I'm okay. And that's not true. Because the head is attached to the body. And the body assembles here. And if you're not here with the body, then your relationship ain't what you think it is. Everybody understand that? In other words, I need you and you need me. In other words, we need one another. In other words, that might be why the Bible says to love one another. That might be why the Bible says that our witness to the world will come because we have loved one for another. For they took note and knew they had been with Jesus, for they had loved one for another as a witness. Well, you laugh. We're just talking about the church. That's the title of the message, you know, just the church. How about Romans? You thought I forgot Romans, didn't you? No, I just didn't start with Romans. There's a reason I didn't start with Romans. Let's look in Romans chapter 1. Verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. But down in verse 7 is where we want to run to. How about 6 and 7? Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome. Now wait a minute. Rome was a big place and I'm sure there wasn't one assembly. I feel sure there probably wasn't one little tiny assembly in Rome. Now there may have been, but it ain't written to the church at Rome. It's written to all that are in Rome that are believers. Are you still with me? See, let me see if I can further it a little bit. To get a message to the saints, to get a message to all the believers, how was that possible? Well, it was simple. They wrote a letter to the church because that's where all the believers assembled.
Yes.
Now let me say that again. For them to get a message to the believers, all the believers, They didn't write it to all the believers' house. They wrote it to the church where all the believers assemble. Because all believers go to church. No, they don't go to church. They are the church. But all the believers assemble. So they can hear the one message that is sent from God for the body to be matured in the things of God. But you gotta be here to get the message. And if you ain't going to be here, then you need to be in another assembly. But you probably ain't going to get the message out there by yourself. Probably won't get it laid up, laying out of church. Okay. And you'll say, well, I can read my own Bible. Okay, then who's helping you with it? Huh? Who's making you accountable to it?
Right. There you go. Yeah. There you go.
That's why you come under the leadership of a pastor.
Yes.
Not to rule you as we think rule, but to rule you into accountability. Is everybody following me tonight?
Yes.
Now I want to show you how important the church is. How important the body is. And you can't separate the body from the church because they're the same. What you got to get out of your mind, it's the building. This is a building that's dedicated to God and to the work of God. And it is a place that should be special and taken care of because we assemble here together. And all the body, we shouldn't be lazy and trifling and dirty. You know? You don't know how dirty we are till you go cleaning the church. You don't realize how much disrespect they are to the house of God till you clean it. You don't know how much disrespect they are to the things of God until you just look in the pews after everybody's gone before it's cleaned. Or go in the bathroom and see all the towels on the floor and the commodes unflushed. If you live like at a home, don't invite me to your house. We okay?
Yes,
huh? What I'm telling you is that the commitment to the things of God is at an all-time low, and it's everywhere. It's in our fellowship. It's in the things of God. It's in our witness. It's in our upkeep. It's in our cleanliness. Now, even though it ain't in the Bible that cleanliness is next to godliness, cleanliness makes you look godlier. When it comes to the house of God, worst thing you can do is come into a place that's trashed up. That ain't much of a witness. Are we okay there?
Yeah.
Hey, janitors, can I get an amen there? Can y'all amen me? It ain't going to hurt you. We know who the janitor is. Why don't y'all amen me and say, tell them, preacher, because we're cleaning up their mess. We okay? Is everybody all right with that?
Yes.
I don't know how to tell you. Just preach it to you. Y'all don't want no personal letters. So we assemble together and to get the message. We get to get the message to the house of God. We assemble together and the preacher tells you.
Amen, preacher.
I mean, ain't that common sense? Which would you rather do? Now, I can write you a personal letter. I'm tactful from the pulpit. Cheryl Ann has wrote letters for me. She says, you can't say that. I said, when they read a letter from me, I want them to think I'm looking them right in the eyeball.
Yeah.
And she says, you can't say that. No, she just can't type that. Now listen, we got to laugh a little bit, but I'm telling you, that's why I have concerns. See, it ain't just It ain't just, see, y'all know I worked for years in a machine shop, okay? And this is true. It's true in a coal mine, and it's true in a shop. Now, that's the only thing I know about is it don't matter about a timber cutter, but it is true in a shop and a coal mine. I reckon it can apply to a timber cutter, but that's all I've ever done for a living other than church. But they taught us that when, and I'm just going to use this for example, production, the scrap rate went high when the floors wasn't swept. And they first told us that, and I said, well, that's the dumbest thing ever I heard. Until we got to looking. And when we was negligent about sweeping the floor, we were negligent about our product.
Yes.
And the scrap rate went up. Well, when I worked in the mines, if we was negligent about rock dusting and hanging curtain, making sure the brattish was hung and the section clean, then we noticed that we didn't care how much rock went out in the coal. Because we didn't have enough time. We had more time. If we didn't do it, we had more time to sit over and drink a cup of coffee, lean against the rib and drink a cup of coffee. It'd be just like me. Now, Butler was my boss cutting timber. I've told y'all that before. I could tell you a lot of things about my boss. He could tell you a lot of things about me. I was his crew. Let me tell you how smart Butler was. He started a logging job and gave it to me and went to work on a strip job. And I would cut timber by myself without a dozer, without a helper, just a chainsaw and a can of gas, and he'd be down Cabin Creek mining coal and I'm cutting timber. Is that true or not? Huh? I mean, no safety meant nothing.
I told you, be careful.
That's what he would say. He would leave for work. He said, be careful, preacher. Don't kill yourself. We got to have these logs. All right? But you know what he always stressed? We got to make sure we change oil on the dozer when we got a dozer. And we got a skidder, we had to make sure because maintenance was important for production. Huh? There were certain things had to be done. And they was concerned. Now, I wasn't as concerned as he was because I wasn't making the payments. I wasn't buying the saws that I was tearing up every day. Okay? You know, a lot of people buy gas for saws. He bought saws for my gas. Okay? True or not?
That's true.
I carried two saws and an axe, and then the next week I'd get two more saws and an axe, and the next week I'd get... Anyway. But now, the reason I'm saying all that is because the attention that was paid to other things for the main thing. And it worries me and concerns me that the concern not just of this local assembly, but everywhere I go in the assemblies, that the concern for the body and the church is at an all-time low. And you see people that have been fell through the cracks at the body, at the assembly, and they're not in the church house no more. And because of the concern of the body ain't there, and one person or the pastor or two, three people in leadership can't take care of 300 people. And the body's got to take care of itself and work on itself and love one another and work with one another and be conscious of the dirt on the floor or the paper towels or the sickness or the death or whatever it may be, that we come together in unity. Are you following me tonight? Because we're all the body. And everywhere I go, as I preached to you the other night, everywhere I go, I'm a witness for this body. But I'm a witness for the main body. See, everywhere I go, people say, you still at Mountain State? Yeah, that means everything I've done has been a witness for Mountain State Baptist Church. It's either been a witness for it or against it. But see, what's even more than that, it's been a witness for Christ or against Christ. because it's the body. It's not just the local assembly. Are we still okay? I'm about ready to give you the outline here in just a minute. Some little bit of help. We still okay? All right? Now, the commitment to the church and the body and all these things are important. Now, when people leave a church, just to show you, someone asked me this years past. Why do you stress church membership? Well, in a lot of ways, I don't stress church membership. I believe if you're saved, you're part of the body of Christ. And then if you want to be obedient, then you'll be part of the local assembly.
Yes.
Okay? But, you know, how we take members in to this local assembly, well, when you get saved, if you get saved, you're born into the family of God, and we baptize you with your public profession of faith, and that automatically puts you and places you in the body of Christ and this local assembly. We don't vote on you. Churches used to vote on members. That's the dumbest thing that has ever been invented, to vote on a member. You know? What it is self-righteous people that want to run the church, that want you to vote on somebody so they can have the preeminence over other members. Okay? Because it's all unscriptural. All right? All of that's unscriptural. Okay? At a certain church, I won't tell you the church, but there's a church that they's having a baptizing. The feller got saved. The husband and wife got baptized, and the feller got baptized, daddy got saved on the creek bank. And when he got saved, he went on right down on the creek, and the preacher baptized him, and a deacon come to the preacher right after and said, "Now you know he run the liquor store, don't you?" Preacher said, "Well, I used to run the bottle, and I got over it." Yeah. Said, "That's all right. If the Lord saved him, he'll get out of the liquor store." And he said, "Well, we didn't vote on him to be baptized."
Wow.
Did y'all hear what I said? And you say, "Well, people don't do that." They've done that around this country all my life. Most unscriptural, self-righteous act that can be done in a local assembly. Amen, Preacher Mark.
Right?
See, that ain't the way it works. We get saved and we're born into the family of God, and in the local assembly that we were saved, and we automatically become a part of that local assembly of the body of Christ. Automatic. Automatic. Huh? With commitments to the entire body of Christ worldwide. Because there's one head and one body. We still okay? Okay, but just to show you that they are letters of transfer. Look in Romans chapter 16. Can I give you a little bit of knowledge here? Romans chapter 16. I'm about done. Give me 10 minutes. All right. Romans 16. I know we've been here all day. I have been here all day too. I run all day yesterday. I preached last night and I preached this morning. We're running good. Okay. I'm tired too. Romans 16. Look at verse 1. It says, "I commend unto you Phoebe." Who's he commending her to? The people at Rome. The saints in Rome. Because that's who it's written to. Is that not what we just read a while ago? Follow me. "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea." Not Rome. That ain't where she was from. She was a worker at Cenchrea, and she was moving her membership to Rome. And she was getting an accommodating letter because she was a servant down here at this assembly, and she was moving up there to that assembly, and Paul's letting them know she's okay. That's why when people leave the church here and go to another church, that if they're following the Holy Ghost and they leave, that's why they always write for a letter.
Yes.
But they just very few of them ever write for a letter because they don't move because of the Holy Ghost. They move because they don't get along. Because if they was getting along, they'd be in fellowship and just want their letter moved and be with the in the will of God. And I just go ahead and make that plain. Everybody understand that tonight. So I could write a letter that such and such is a member of good standing, and we commend them to you because they'll make you a good servant. Because if they write a letter now, they'd have to be, well, better watch them. We okay? Because I'd probably have to do that. And a hush come over the church. The church. How important is the church? Well, it's a place for fellowship. Y'all ready? Get your Bibles ready. Y'all getting tired on me. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The church, the assembly, us coming together, assembly. You know what it provides? It provides fellowship. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. Can I tell you that it's important that we assemble together for fellowship? The church is. Huh? Now, I'll just go ahead and tell you, you know how come we take attendance? Anybody know why we take attendance? You don't know why we take attendance? To count people. Wow. Wow. We all missed that one, didn't you? Huh? You know why we count people? Because it's biblical. You know it's biblical to take attendance? Did you know that? Do you know that? Well, look in verse 41. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day were added to them about 3,000. How come they write that? Because they counting them. You read over again, they added about 5,000. You know why they counting them? You know how come they counting them? Do you know why? Dennis, how many cows you got? How many mommies? How many little ones? How come you know that? Why is that important? You need to know you got that many, don't you? Well, why would you do that? Because that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, who would have a bunch of cows and not know how many they had? Huh? You don't know what you got to work with. You know why we take number here? So we know how many we got to work with. The shepherd needs to know how many sheep he's got. Because if you got 240 and ain't but 238, well, where's the other two?
Right.
Where are they at?
Right.
And then when you got 240 and there's 150 shows up, you scratch your head and you say, what happened? Uh-huh. What happened to them 100? Do we got restless? Did you catch that? Do we got rustlers that come in and took our cattle away? And the shepherd's wringing his hands. Oh, somebody done stole my sheep. Well, then you have a feed, and here they all come back. Wait a minute. We feed every week. Why do they come back today?
Yeah. Amen, preacher.
We okay? We still okay? Oh, we got so many thoughts, we better hurry. How about Hebrews 13, 17? Hebrews 13, 17. The church provides accountability. We mentioned it just a while ago, but here's scripture for it. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. That you being here in the assembly, being accountable to the shepherd, The under shepherd that's accountable to the big shepherd that's trying his best to see that you mature and are fed well and cared for, that you ain't got no parasites.
Yeah, amen.
Huh? I'm supposed to be putting oil on you so you don't have worms.
Yeah, amen.
Because we got a lot of wormy Christians. Huh? We okay? Everybody understand that? When you got worms, you're unhealthy. Right? Can I tell you that you can't be treated if you're not in the assembly?
Amen.
When it comes to the sheep dunk and you don't show up, you ain't going to get dunked and you're going to carry fleas and worms. And the people we just got inoculated, you're going to infect them. Yeah,
hello. Amen.
It's a place, not only of fellowship and accountability. How about restoration? You ever need restored?
Yes, sir.
Anybody here ever get sideways?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes.
Look at me. Anybody here ever get sideways on the Lord?
Yes.
Is there not anything any better than getting restored?
Yes.
Huh? Do you know that new furniture is not near as expensive as restored old furniture?
That's right.
Do you know that restored old furniture, you can get some good money out of restored old stuff? Do you know that? To come in and tighten up the joints and do a little sanding here and there and a little bit of new varnish or a little bit of new lacquer or something. And boy, you can get a good price. Sometimes new stuff, you know, is cheap. Chinese.
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I'm glad the church is a place of restoration. I'm glad it's a place of fellowship. I'm glad it's a place of accountability. I'm glad it's a place of restoration. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Cheryl, you go to the piano. Ephesians 4. It's a place not just of a fellowship and accountability and restoration. It's a place for ministry. How many want to do something for the Lord?
Sure.
Hold your hand up. How many want to serve the Lord? How many says, I want to do something for the Lord? Hold your hand up. If you ever want to do anything for the Lord.
Okay.
You can't do it outside the assembly.
Amen.
It's unscriptural.
Amen.
You got to come through the assembly.
Yes.
Huh? You know how come I know? Because the Bible tells me so. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, the ministry and service and work is only for the edifying of the body.
Right.
The ministry is not for lost people. That's our witness.
Amen.
You follow me? It don't say nothing about the lost in this passage. It's for an edification of the body. That you're placed in the body after you're saved to help the body.
Yes, yes.
And your witness brings people into the body. But your service edifies the body. You're supposed to be helping one another. You're as responsible for one another as I am. You're as responsible for one another as the other guy is. You know who's responsible for these young men up here? Everybody. You know who's responsible for them young ladies on that bench? Everybody. You know who's responsible for the older ones? Everybody. You know who's responsible for the healthy ones? Everybody. You know who's responsible? We're responsible for one another. We still okay? Give you one more. How about this? Now, I know nobody's interested in this. I probably might just leave it alone. Nobody wants to bring glory to God. Anybody here want to bring glory to God? Huh? How about Ephesians chapter 3? We okay? Let's go back around verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not in my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth his name. That's going to tell you that I'm part of the church here. And I just want to go ahead and let you know that someday I'll be joined with the rest of the church up there in glory, where my dad's at and where my mom's at and where Papa and Mama's at and where my baby sister's at and where Uncle Kenny's at and Aunt Booty and Uncle Holly, and that's where I'm going. See, I got family here. I got family there. I got church family up there. Y'all remember when y'all was at church, y'all rejoiced when there's a sinner saved. Hey, can y'all hear me up there? They're not listening down here. Huh? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able... Wait a minute, where are you going to get rooted and grounded in love? The assembly, the body. May be able to comprehend with all saints, that's all of us. May be able to comprehend with all saints, that's all of us. May be able to comprehend with all saints. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory. In the church. You know what it says? To him be glory in the church. Huh? By Jesus Christ throughout all ages. World without end, amen. I'm just telling you, the church is a good place. It's a good place for fellowship. It's a good place for accountability. It's a good place for restoration. It's a good place for ministry. And it's a good place to bring glory to God. Yes. You in the church? You in the body? You saved tonight? Are you saved? If you ain't saved, won't you come on in and get in? Won't you get in? That's a good term, get in. I like getting in. Huh? You know, the old timers used to say, do you know so-and-so got in church? Anybody ever hear that term? Yeah. Old time, hey, old son, do you hear about so-and-so? You mean the whiner? Yeah, he got in church. Oh, he never done. Yeah, he got in church. That don't mean he went to church, because it used to be everybody went to church. Even the drunkards and the harlots and everybody went to revival meeting. But when they say they got in church, that means they got in. That means they got in the body of Christ. You in tonight? Are you in? Are you glad you're in? Amen. Well, we got commitments one to another. See, I'm committed to you tonight. I'm committed to you. See, I hate to say it, but I'm really not here because you hired me. See, I really don't work for you. I really don't. I really work for him. See, he's the head. Y'all just the body. But can I tell you, I'm part of the body. Yeah, right. I get to be part of the body. Yeah. Okay? Invitation like it. If you ain't right with the Lord, I encourage you to get right with the Lord. If you ain't very good part of the body, you ought to just fix yourself up and maybe if you need a little paint, a little makeup or something, I don't know. Comb your hair. Huh? Clip your nails. Blow your nose. I don't care whatever part of the body you are. If things ain't right, won't you get right? If you ain't loving one another, won't you just get right with God? Because if you ain't loving one another, you ain't right. It ain't the person that you're mad at. It's you. Now, everybody remember, if you ain't loving everybody like you ought to, it ain't their fault. It's your fault. Now, let me say that again. If you ain't loving everybody like you ought to be loving everybody, it ain't their fault. I don't care what they done. It's your fault. So if you ain't loving everybody, go ahead and get right. Repent, get right. You don't have to go tell nobody nothing. Just get right and start loving them again. If you ain't serving everybody like you're supposed to be serving, then tell God, I'm sorry. Help me to serve like I'm supposed to serve. Help me take care of this part of the body. If it ain't praying one for another like or two, God, I'm sorry. That's repentance. You ought to come and kneel down on the altar. Don't do it in your seat because you won't do it right in the seat. If you do it there in your seat, you'll forget about it. You'll think about your purse or your songbook or your car or your wallet or your phone. You need to come forward. Get on your knees. Tell God, I'm sorry. I ain't in the body like I ought to be in the body. I ain't doing right. I ain't doing people right. I ain't doing you right because you're the head. And if I offend anything in the body, I'm offending you because you're the head and all the circulation comes from you. Because there's one body, one head. Yep. So if you ain't right, get right so we can fly right. How about that? Father, help us tonight. Sure do love you. Sure do need you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing right now. You mind the Lord tonight. You mind the Lord tonight.
Just as I